You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Have you ever seen a social media post of a high school athlete holding a trophy with the caption, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me"? Or maybe a businessman tagging his latest promotion with Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." It feels good. It's inspiring. It's like God is your personal life coach, whispering sweet certainties into your ear. But here's the problem. What if those verses have absolutely nothing to do with your trophy or your promotion? What if by making those verses about you, you've actually silenced what God was trying to say in the first place? Most of us approach the Bible like a mirror. We look into it, we see ourselves, we're trying to find a nugget that validates our current feelings or supports our political stance. But the Bible, here's the thing, the Bible isn't a mirror, it's a window. It's a window into the mind of God, the history of his people, and the person and work of Jesus Christ. So that means that if the Bible never disagrees with you, or if it never makes you uncomfortable, or if it always seems to endorse your pre-existing opinions, then there's a high probability that you aren't actually reading the Bible, you're just talking to yourself. Today we're diving into the science and art of how to actually hear God. We're talking about two big academic words that will change the way you study the Bible. Exegesis is one, and eisegesis is another one. And we're going to look at the master discipline that keeps us from going off the rails, and it's a third big word, and the word is hermeneutics. These are Bible study words. These are words that you would learn if you went to seminary, so buckle up. We're going to learn how to stop making the Bible say what we want and how to start hearing what God actually said when we study our Bibles. Let's start with the villain of our story, eisegesis. The word comes from the Greek eis, E-I-S, meaning into, and egiomai, which means to lead. So literally, eisegesis means to lead into. It's the act of reading your own ideas, your own biases, your own cultural baggage into the text. Think of it like this. Imagine you receive a text from your spouse that says, "We need to talk." If you're already feeling insecure about your relationship, you read that as, "I'm leaving you. You're in big trouble." But if you're feeling excited about a vacation that you're planning and that you've been talking about, then you read it as, "I have a great idea for our trip." The words didn't change, but your eisegesis did. You projected your internal state onto the external message from your wife. And in the world of the Bible, this kind of thing happens all the time. We call it proof texting. This is when you have a point you want to prove, maybe about politics or why it's okay to stay in a toxic relationship or why you deserve a Ferrari or why you deserve to be able to get divorced or whatever. And you scour the Bible for a verse that looks like it supports you. And when you do this, you turn the Bible into a rubber stamp for your own will. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 gives us a stern warning here. It says, "Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God." If the Holy Spirit is the author, then the meaning is his property, not ours. So when we practice eisegesis, we're essentially trying to hijack the Spirit's microphone. It's arrogant, and frankly, it's dangerous because it creates a God made in our own image. So how do we fix it? We move from eisegesis, the villain of the story, to exegesis. If eis means into, ex means out of. So exegesis is the process of drawing the meaning out of the text. It's the work of a detective. But you can't just wing it when it comes to Bible study. To do good exegesis, you need hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the science and art of interpretation. Think of it as the rules of the road for your Bible study. Here are four pillars of a solid hermeneutic when it comes to studying your Bible. Number one, the bridge, historical and cultural context. When you study the Bible, you have to remember that it wasn't written to you. It was written for you, but it was originally written to people living thousands of years ago in a Middle Eastern culture. So when Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he isn't talking about winning a football game. He's writing from a cold, dark prison cell. He's talking about the supernatural ability to be content while starving or being beaten. So the bridge of hermeneutics helps us to cross from our 21st century world back to the first century world to see what Paul actually meant in the original historical and cultural context. But then, number two, you have something called literary context. And this is where we talk about genre. You don't read a love poem the same way you read a car manual, right? And the Bible is a library of different genres. Some of it is poetry. Some of it is prophecy. Some of it is historical narrative. A bunch of it is letters written from a guy to a church or from a guy to another guy. If you read the Psalms, which is poetry, like they're scientific textbooks, then you're going to be confused. If you read the parables like they're literal news reports, then you'll miss the point. A good hermeneutic asks, what kind of literature am I reading? So, number one, you have historical and cultural context that you need to figure out. Number two, you need to figure out the genre, the type of book that you're reading in the Bible. And number three, and this is huge when it comes to your hermeneutics, the way you study your Bible. This is the golden rule of Bible study. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. Because the Bible has one primary author, the Holy Spirit, it has a supernatural unity. It won't contradict itself. So if you find a verse that seems to say you can earn your way to heaven by being a good person, you have to look at the clearer parts of the Bible, like Romans or Galatians, that explain that we're saved by grace through faith. We never build a whole doctrine on one obscure verse. People who do that are called cult leaders. Instead, if your hermeneutical key is to let Scripture interpret Scripture, then you let the clear parts of the Bible shine light on the difficult parts. One more. Number four, you need to have a Christ-centered lens. This is a big one. Jesus himself taught us how to read the Bible. In Luke 24:27, after his resurrection, he walked with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It says, "Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Do you see what Jesus did right there? What a cool moment. He literally led these disciples through a Bible study, showing them how to read the Old Testament with Jesus in mind. And this is what we should always do when we study the Bible. If your interpretation of an Old Testament law or a New Testament command doesn't eventually lead you to the person and work of Jesus, then you've missed the heart of the passage and you've missed the point of the entire Bible. Now, let's get into the weeds for just a second here. Why does all this academic stuff matter for your Tuesday morning devotions? And the reason is because words have consequences. History is littered with people who used eisegesis to justify horrific things. People used isolated Bible verses to justify slavery, to oppress women, to build cults. They took a verse out of its historical and literary context and forced it to serve their own agenda. But when we do the hard work of exegesis, the Bible becomes a living, breathing guide. Take the command in the New Testament to greet one another with a holy kiss. Maybe you've read that one before. If we're literalists without a hermeneutic, then we'd be kissing each other all the time at church every single Sunday, and it would be really awkward. Through exegesis, we see the principle behind the practice. The practice was a cultural greeting of that day. The universal principle is believers should show warm, sincere, hospitable affection to one another. So today in our culture, that's a handshake or a high five or a side hug. We keep the heart of God's word while translating it accurately into our world. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." The Greek word for correctly explains or rightly dividing, depending on your translation, is orthotomeo. It's a construction term. It means to cut a straight path. So proper hermeneutics is about cutting a straight path through the text so you don't end up in a ditch of your own making. We started talking today about mirrors and windows. If you keep using the Bible as a mirror, only looking for what you want to see, you will never grow. You'll just become a more religious version of your current self. You'll have a God who agrees with all your prejudices and never challenges your lifestyle. But when you commit to exegesis, when you use the tools of hermeneutics to look through the window, you encounter the real God. And the real God is much more interesting, much more demanding than the one you made up. Plus, he's really God. You'll actually be pursuing the real God of the Bible instead of some God that you've made up that could probably lead you to not knowing him at all. The goal of Bible study isn't information, it's transformation. We don't study the rules of interpretation just to win arguments at small group. We study them so we can hear the voice of our shepherd clearly. So, next time you open your Bible, don't start with, "What does this mean to me?" Start with, "What did this mean to them?" And then ask, "What is the timeless truth God is revealing here?" And then finally, "How does this point me to Jesus?" When you do that, the Bible stops being a book of nuggets and it starts being a map for your life. To dive deeper on this topic, check out the keyword Bible study at pursuegod.org. And in particular, check out the articles, "What is Biblical Hermeneutics?" and "What's the difference between eisegesis and exegesis?" And don't forget, use the discussion questions at the bottom of those articles to have this conversation with your family, with your small group, or with a mentor.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.